There are three scriptures I would like to read with you tonight, please. The first in Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. And reading, please, from verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I draw attention tonight to the words of verse 16, I will build my church. Now will you turn, please, to the Ephesians, the Paul's writing letter to the Ephesians. And in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, please. And verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Our final reading, please, in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, please, and in chapter 3. And I would like you to look at the close of verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God will bless the reading of his sacred word. Our subject tonight is the church as a building. You'll recognize that the building is not literal. That belonged to an old dispensation. And that the word of Acts 17 is the word that guides in this dispensation. God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So that the building not being literal, the language is metaphoric, to bring home to our hearts a truth that God would have us know concerning activity in this dispensation. I want you to stand with me, please, for a moment, at Caesarea Philippi, and I want you to hear that question that the Lord Jesus asked of his own. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember the suggestions that were made. But then the Lord turns pointedly to his own again, and he said, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there in those words you have a revelation of the Christ. The revelation of the Christ. Consequently upon that, the Lord turns to Peter and speaks again. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Upon this rock, the confession of Christ in his deity, I will build my church. Precious words. Words that illuminate this dispensation. I will build my church. It's the revelation of the church. You recognize that Matthew has presented to our hearts Christ, the sovereign. Let your mind for a moment dwell upon the preceding chapter. The first four chapters focus the seven prophecies upon the person of the king. The next chapters 5 to 7 focus attention upon the principles of the king, the Sermon on the Mount. The next chapters 8 to 11 fasten upon the power of the king, as he demonstrates the authority that he has in every realm. But this is the one, now rejected, repudiated, refused by his own. And he opens his heart at this point and speaks of that which is lain hidden in the very counsels of God. And he said, I will build my church. Not now, please. The tabernacle of Moses, not now the house of David, not now the temple of Solomon, but something that is going to be preciously, particularly his very own. I will build my church. The word church, of course, is the two words in the original language that indicates a call, a summons, and a people called out. So the Lord is going to speak of a people called out under the picture of the word church. And so you have the revelation of the Christ. You have the revelation of the church. And you'll recall that consequent upon that, at the close of Matthew 16, you have this. You have the revelation of the cross. As the Savior speaks of the path and of the pain and of that which it would take to bring into existence in this dispensation that, of course, that was going to be so preciously and so particularly his very own. I will build my church. That, of course, is prophetic. It indicates what the Lord would do. I will build my church. Now, how did it work out in history? The one who was refused on earth, he's received in heaven. This takes us into the book of the Acts. And the evidence for that, the Son refused on earth, received in heaven, sends the Holy Spirit of God down upon earth. And Acts chapter 2, is the record of a testimony that's told out in all its fullness, with the result that when they gladly received his word, isn't that salvation? Out of that nation that had refused him, a people responded. They received his word, salvation. They were baptized. That submission to his lordship that they had refused as a nation. And there were added. That is, there was separation now. And this new entity came into existence that had only existed in the very heart of God. But now the prophetic word becomes a historic experience, and there comes into existence that which belonged to the very Christ of God, my church. May you get the impact of this in Ephesians chapter 2. No longer strangers and foreigner. Of course, it's bringing in the truth revealed that it wasn't only the Jew. It was the Gentile too. And you're going to see now that when God saves a soul, what does he do? They're fellow citizens of with the saints. They're now citizens of a city that wasn't Jerusalem. It's a city that is above. There's their status. Now again, they're of the household of God. There, it's the fact that they are members in a family. Not the family of Israel, but the family of God. It's God at work. But the third note is this. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. You see, they're not only citizens of a city, not only are they members of a family, but they're stones in a building. Being built, it's passive. It's not something that men do. It's that fulfillment of what Christ had spoken. I will build my church. Oh, fellow saint tonight, to be with you and to recognize that God has saved each one of us. It was a night to remember, wasn't it, when we were brought as sinners to Christ. We didn't understand that night all that was involved. We were satisfied simply to enter into the experience of sin forgiven, to enter into the gladness of peace with God and the assurance of heaven that was enough for our soul. But there was something more. That night, I became a citizen of heaven. I became a member of the family of God. I was a stone in a great building. The building of the dispensation, and of course, the chief cornerstone was Christ himself. The foundation stone, that's Isaiah 28, that speaks of security, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. The cornerstone, it speaks of stability. It's that from which the building takes character, that's Psalm 118. But when I think of the headstone, it's Zechariah 4. It's that which is headed up with Christ himself, that great building of the dispensation. It thrills my heart. I trust tonight it will thrill every believer's heart to know that we are part of that which Christ is building from Pentecost until the rapture, until Jesus comes, a mighty structure arising. The foundation, Christ. The apostles and prophets foundation. I submit to you that that's a simple genitive. What does that mean? It means that it's the same foundation upon which the apostles and prophets were built. It's Christ is the foundation. And the simple genitive describes the fact that the apostles and prophets were built upon Christ. And oh, to find my place in that building, and to know that I share in the great purpose of the ages, and to know that I'm linked with God himself, and all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple of the Lord.
that in which his presence will be known, that within which his purposes will be done, and where his power will be seen. This is the great building, the building of the dispensation, and every child of God, every saved soul, is built in to that mighty, mighty building, the church of the dispensation. Haven't we been singing tonight? See the vast building, view the vast building, see it rise. The work, how great, the plan, how wide. O wondrous fabric, power unknown, it's built on Christ, the living stone. This is the church of the dispensation. Lee, we could easily and readily tonight bow our hearts and thank God for being associated as part of that great building. But there's a second aspect to the building I want to put alongside it, and that's not the church of the dispensation, but the church in the district. Because this is going to bring it down to human responsibility, so that the church in the district becomes a reflection of that church of the dispensation. And it's for that reason that I have asked you to put alongside our previous readings, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where you recognize that the building is not the passive, the Lord doing the building upon this building stone, but it is the active, it's men building. But you say, how does this come about? If you look back into the opening chapter of the Epistle to the Corinthians, you'll find it, that there's a company at Corinth who have been saved, baptized, and gathered. And they're described by the expression, Church of God. Church of God. And you say, now what exactly does that mean? Fellow saint, it means this, that when a soul is saved and brought to the Savior, begotten within their hearts is an interest in the Scripture. If those Scriptures are read with open mind and bowed heart, there will be from the Scriptures, by the Spirit of God, a path marked out that will end in a place that's not geographic and literal, as it was in the Old Testament, but that is spiritual and moral, where like-minded saints gather in submission to the authority of the Scripture, the activity of the Spirit, and there the saints associate in a unique company that's called in the New Testament Church of God. But you say, is this important? I say to you, fellow saint, it's vitally important, especially for every young believer to understand that it's not just a matter of convenience where I gather. It's not either just a matter of choice because I like the people or I like the place, but that from the Word of God there comes a conviction that this is the path and this is the place where the Word of God would place me. Now that gathering has a very special character. If you look at chapter 1 of the Corinthian epistles, you'll find something about the foundation. Paul said, I laid the foundation as a wise master builder. It wasn't his plan. He was but the artisan who put into effect that which had been given him from the architect himself, the Lord himself. And there was a foundation laid. And you get that call that comes echoing through 1 Corinthians 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do our hearts not bow to see the authority of that name? And there it is, in saints, submissive and separated to him, and thus built upon the foundation laid in the person
of Christ accepted as Lord.
When you come into chapter 2, it's not just the foundation, but it is the features of such a company that's brought out by the Spirit of God. Because this is the testimony of God. And the Spirit of God is at work. And it's not natural, it's supernatural. It's that which God produces in such a company. So the foundation, and then you have the features. But you say, why is it so important? Because in chapter 3, you're going to get the function. You're going to get what kind of building it is. Look at this. In verse 9, ye are God's building. And of course, the emphasis will follow in the next verses on the material that's put in. And the builders, those who are actually engaged in the construction work. The emphasis lies upon construction. But when you come to verse 16, here's a further thought. It's this. Ye are temple of God. That's the character. Now we're seeing the function of such a building. And what is the function? It's this. A temple. What does it mean? It means that amongst that gathered people, guarded by the Spirit, the Scripture, guided by the Spirit, why there the presence of God is known as in temple. It's there that His pleasure is done in keeping with His mind. It's there that His power can be seen in such a gathering amongst His people. That's the impact of this figure, the idea of building. Now into the great church of the dispensation, we cannot build. It's Christ who builds. But into the church of the district, when we gather in obedience to the word, to engage in the work, why, there is that which we can do, into which we can pour our very lifeblood. This is the point of my ministry. Just now, it's this. To see, as I grasp the foundation, that's where I will build. As I see the features, that's how I will build. Now I come to the function, and this will govern what I will build. What I'll put into it. Why is that important? Because it's for God. And if it's for God, it's going to be tested. And it's going to be tested by His presence. That which an Old Testament picture is seen as the very fire, the very blaze of His presence. And there's a day coming when what I do and the work in which I engage and the material that I put into the church of God is going to be tested. We look forward and other scriptures throw light upon the judgment seat of Christ. But here the point is, what work I do in this building, it's going to be made manifest. That word will mean exposed, brought out in what it really is, in its character. And the second word is declare. That will emphasize the examination that will be made. And the third word is try. That means it's going to be tested. And it's in the day that will be declared with fire in the very presence of a holy God. If I could tonight grasp two great truths. The church of the dispensation, I have been put into it. A stone in that mighty building that is for eternal habitation of God by the Spirit. Then to bring it down to a local picture. And recognize that I have a play and a part to play in a divinely constituted gathering that bears the character of a building of God, a temple of God, Do you know what it would do? It would send me tonight to my knees to seek help of God, to examine, to test, to try what I put in to that building. And you see, with the metaphor of fire, there's going to be disclosed two types of material and two types only. What are they? Those that stand the test and those that don't. And those that stand the test, the gold, the silver, the costly stone. But on the other side, the wood, the hay, the stubble. It can't simply, the gold cannot simply be principles alone. Principles alone. We're not building a doctrinal structure. The silver cannot be practices alone. We're not building an ethical structure. The costly stones cannot simply be persons alone, because we're not building a literal structure. But you see, what I put into it is going to produce something for God in the lives of those who are therein. And the great point will be, of what character is that that I put into the assembly of God, that in a day to come, it will stand the test and will come out as the gold, the silver, and the costly stones that will be for His glory in that day of testing. And not only for His glory, but for my recognition and reward. But some young heart here says, what exactly is meant by the gold? Doubtless standing in contrast to the wood, what is natural. But now, the gold in Scripture speaks of deity. And deity in the sense of doing the will of God. The mercy seat of old was of gold, but it was stained with blood. Doesn't it open to our heart? The person of Christ, the only one upon earth who did absolutely the will of God. And it took him through the cross, through the blood shedding, through all that is centered in Calvary's dark pain. And you know, to do the will of God, that's the highlight. That's the vital thing. If I could touch just a heart tonight, young or old, to do the will of God in this day, it will not only bring you by a path of obedience to the place of submission, it will put you amongst the people, the saints of God, with practices that are in keeping with the Scripture and the power that is in the power of the Spirit of God. And there will come out features of deity. Isn't that what you get in the Corinthians chapter 11? To 15. Don't you get headship there in chapter 11? That's no small truth. That's a vital truth. Don't you get lordship? Don't you get worship? These touch upon the will of God done. Oh, young believer, tonight, it's no small thing to be in a company of God's people where headship is seen, where lordship is seen, and where worship is seen. Apart from all that belongs to nature, this is the will of God in a scene that's refused His Son who did His will. In connection with the silver, of course, the silver speaks of redemption. It speaks of that witness for Christ that will be seen in the practices. It's going to be seen in the appetites that I show. Why? Because I've been redeemed. And the chapters that deal with that redemption is chapter 6 onwards to chapter 10. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. What does it mean? It means that now all that I engage in, the appetites of my heart, the actions of my life, and the associations, they're in keeping with redemptive power. And there from the assembly of God, there are saints and souls seen that reflect redemption's mighty power. Here's the witness for Christ that is seen in the assembly. Does that describe me? Is it seen in my life? Not only the will of God, the witness for Christ, but you know, the costly stone. I submit the explanation is 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 10, where you get the reference to the costly stones. They're not the precious stones of the high priest's breastplate. They are the great building blocks that were cut out of the quarry and built into that great temple of Solomon. What's it indicate? It indicates the persons that are won by the power of the Spirit of God, taken out of nature's quarry, built in to the assembly for God, that there might be evidence of the work of the Spirit of God. Do you ever look around the little assembly and view the saints and say, there's one there because I prayed. There's one there because I knocked that door. There's one there I taught in Sunday school. There's one there that came in and got saved because I preached. The costly stones, that which will stand the test of time and the test of the fire. I would like tonight, as I close, not only for you to see the magnificence of the great building, the Church of the Dispensation, but I would like you to see the responsibility of the church in the district. We might pour something into it for God, put that very lifeblood into it in fulfillment of His purpose, that we might grasp and see the will of God done, the witness for Christ born, and the work of the Spirit evidenced in souls being won and reached and added by Christ to the church of the dispensation, and to see them gathered in obedience to His word, the church as a building. May God bless to us His word.